Today we are going to be reading a rather hefty chunk of the letter to the people who live in Ephesus. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I am not sure which version you have in the pews. And I invite you to listen as we sort out what it is that Paul wants to say. He actually begins before we start in verse 7 and says that he is a prisoner for Jesus Christ for the sake of the Gentiles, for us, and that he has a commission of grace. And this commission is to reveal the mystery of Christ. That is what Paul regards as his commission, is to reveal the mystery of Christ. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of God's power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this given grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles, us, the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery, which has been hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that through the church, the wisdom of God in all of its rich variety may be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that God has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through our faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. These sufferings are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, together with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all that we can ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, tomorrow is the 4th of July. It is the 4th of July weekend. It is not Christmas. It is the 4th of July. And so, as this 4th of July rolled around, I was remembering back to a signature 4th in our household. It actually was June. It was right before school let out. And our daughter, Meredith, who is now a perfectly established sophomore at Elizabethtown College, she was in 4th grade. And she had the 4th grade meltdown. It was a signature, massive meltdown. She was required to memorize the beginning part of the Declaration of Independence. It is the part that begins with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." Anybody remember the next line? "And that they are..." awesome-ish. Awesome-ish. And she was also required to learn the preamble to the Constitution, which begins, "We of the United States." You all had to memorize that in eighth grade too, right? Well, the meltdown began because right at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, there's a line about dissolving political bands. And my daughter, who has an older brother who is 9 years older than she is, was told by him that that meant that the United States was going to break up the band U2. So she went in and reported to her teacher that the Declaration of Independence meant that the government was going to break up all bands. And she was confused, and she came home, and it was the meltdown. Well, the other thing that then happened on this big test was not only did she have to recite the beginning of the Declaration of Independence and also the preamble to the Constitution, but she had to prove and demonstrate her knowledge of important people in early American history. Well, the way the school thought was a good idea for kids in fourth grade to learn that was there was this list of important figures and events, and then there was a word bank. And the word bank was a list of solutions, and you had to draw lines to connect them. And so I want you to see if you can help me with a few of the items that were on this word bank. I just want you to say the first thing that comes to mind. Betsy Ross. Thomas Jefferson. John Hancock. Davy Crockett. Coonskin hat, right? Sacagawea. Lewis and Clark. Benedict Arnold. When I moved here to Lancaster, I discovered, no, the answer to that is spent the night here in Lancaster or up in a little apartment. Well, as we went through matching up this word bank with this fourth grader who was in complete meltdown, you know what I did? I said, Meredith, you know what let's do? Let's sort some socks. So we had this great big basket of all of these little fourth grade socks, the ones with the little frills and the ones to wear when she was out playing soccer. And so she would pick a sock and I would pick a sock, and then I would pick out something from the word bank and she would pick the answer. And by the time we got all of the socks matched up, she had accomplished the word bank. But somewhere along the way there, I realized that the sum total of everything that I knew about American history that I remembered from fourth grade and high school, all of it was contained on that word bank. Boston Tea Party. Tea bags in the... And Bunker Hill. And by the time I got to the end of that word bank, I realized that's all that I remembered was the word bank. Well, in this letter that Paul writes to the people of Ephesus, he is pouring himself out to create a word bank that is going to match us up and our lives with the mystery of Christ. And he is doing this matching and inviting us to join along. So the signature part of this passage that we read is he is on his knees before God. And then he says, before whom every family in heaven and on earth. So one of the gifts that the 4th of July gives to us is the chance to match up our lives with the boundless mystery of the grace of God. I was looking, searching the Google for that list of Revolutionary War early people in American history words, and to see what word banks there are today. And I came across a 4th of July word bank. And it had on it things like picnic and hot dogs and fireworks and water balloon tosses and family and this whole list of all the goodness. And I was thinking that is one of the gifts that God has given to us, is that we have families and communities, every family, every community, this little particular family and community that we have, this church, are part of the way that God matches us up with the mystery. Is these good experiences that we have are ones that help us understand what Paul barely has words for, which is the boundlessness and the breadth and the height and the depth of the grace of Christ. So I would like for you to think with me for just a moment. Take your own little basket of socks. How many of you have stories about family gatherings and cookouts and barbecues and good times with family and friends? How many of you have a story like that? You do hold up your sock. So we were yesterday at, we went to the Lititz Springs fireworks. Kent and I, we were conquering the sadness which comes of having young adult children. Our daughter Meredith was up in State College with her boyfriend Will, and they were doing things up there with his family. And our son Graham and his girlfriend Mary Ann have both recently begun full-time jobs as counselors. And they were completely wiped out, and they decided to stay home because they were too tired to go to the fireworks, which just felt hysterical. So Kent and I, we were there saying, gosh, we wanted the family to join with us, but we are going to go to the Lititz Springs. So there we were with this massive thousands of people at this park, with a small town 4th of July. They were crowning the Miss Candle. And if you have never been there, they have the Lititz Run, which is a spring that goes right through the park. And they had all the candles set up. And they had 10 lovely young women up there. And Miss Candle had been, it was the 75th Miss Candle. And they... Miss Candle had been chosen by her classmates at Warwick High School, and they brought out all of the previous royalty from the 1940s. Every queen still in the area came out holding her candle. And it was that moment of beauty in a community. It was glorious to watch. So then the fireworks, everybody spread out on this giant field, and it was a pyrotechnic marvel, these fireworks. And this particular round of fireworks were in honor of all of the musical artists that we have lost over the last year. And they said, and I quote, because Lititz is a center for the concert industry, these artists were known and loved by us here in Lititz. Nobody knew them better than we do, and nobody misses them more, which was just really sweet that they were establishing this connection between Lititz and Prince. and the others who have died over the year. And it was this amazing display, but then it was also a celebration of America. So there came this moment when Kate Smith was singing God Bless America, and the fireworks were going off, and there was suddenly something went wrong with their soundtrack. And so Kate was singing, "From the mountains to the prairies," and it went silent. And suddenly 1,000 people sitting on their blanket filled it in to the oceans, white with foam. And when the soundtrack came back on, the whole field was at exactly the right place, on exactly the right pitch, and everybody continued to sing it. It was one of those moments that come, that shine and glimmer, and you remember. So those moments that you have, I want you to hold up your sock again. These are the moments of the goodness of the barbecues and the games and the cooking and the hot dogs that fall off the grill and the dog that snatches the hamburger and the time that you're shooting off the fireworks and it goes off backwards but nobody gets hurt. All of those moments. It's the volunteer in the park, and the Boy Scouts were there cooking funnel cakes, and all the things that you have done to keep organizations and the goodness of life going. All of those are God's gift to you, because Paul says that he is the custodian of the mystery of Christ. And the way that we understand the boundless riches. Paul has a word bank going that he can barely contain, which is inexhaustible. In the Greek, the word is the pleroma, the fullness of it. All of that comes to you through things like the 4th of July. And so the more that you can experience the goodness and the joy and the celebration and the little things that make the memories, Paul says, the more you will understand and experience the boundless breadth, depth, and length of the grace of Christ. It comes through the goodness. But, Paul says, it comes through the other sock, the other thing that we hold, which is where the suffering is. Where the futility is, where the pain is. Kent said, I don't know if I want to go to the fireworks. And I experienced this plunge back to my childhood. We grew up, my family had a lot of challenges. We hardly had any money. So my parents did something that was wonderful, which was they took us to the fireworks held at the stadium in the college in the town where I grew up in Southern California. But there was no way that our family had the money to go inside where you could see the ground displays and the things that happened. And so like everybody else that couldn't afford to go in, we spread blankets on the outside and we could see the fireworks overhead, but we couldn't go in. And that created in me that feeling of being on the outside long time ago. And yet when Kent said, if the kids aren't going to come, maybe we should just stay home, I was back there in that moment of being on the outside and not going in. And I said to Kent, I think I really would like to go in and see the fireworks. And he said, all of us have those moments that come mingled in with the goodness of family and the goodness of groups when things fall apart. So if you have a sock of a family celebration or a group that you're part of that has gone wrong or fall apart, hold your sock up in this hand. Anybody have those socks? We all do. When we think about the blessings that it is to be a citizen of the United States of America, we have these socks as well. When I was in 11th grade, that was the year that you took government. And the year that I took government, civics, happened to be the year the Watergate scandal broke open and Richard Nixon resigned. If you're old enough to remember that, hold up your sock. It was a grim time. We live in a country which has vast nobility, contributes more than all of the other nations combined for the welfare of the world. And yet we also live with a political process that on occasion looks like a Saturday Night Live skit, but it's real. We're in a presidential election that is one for the books, right? So we have this other sock to hold up, which is the things that go wrong. When Meredith was about 4, we were reading a little critter book, and little critter was up to no good at all. But it was funny, and he was getting in trouble because he hadn't done his chores or something like that. And all of a sudden, Meredith started to sob. Meredith started to cry. It was this heart-rending, incoherent, hysterical crying. There was no way into it. All I could do was hold. And finally, the sobs subsided, and I could say, Meredith, what's wrong? Little critter comes out okay in the end. What's wrong? And she said, Mommy, I was looking at the page, and I could read the words. I said, well, that was the best moment in my life, Meredith. She said, Mommy, I realized I can read. And then she said, if I can read, it means I'm getting older. And if I'm getting older, it means that you're getting older. And if you're getting older, it means you're going to die. And if you're going to die, then it means I'm going to die. And I don't want to die, Mommy. Paul says that the things that go wrong and ultimately our awareness of and our grieving over our mortality, the brokenness of life, the way we come to an end ourselves, the ways that we grieve those who do. But that is also part of God's matching us to the boundless riches. C.S. Lewis used to write and talk about the yearning. He said the reason that we are in family, the reason that we have nations, the reason that we have celebrations, is all of them at their best and their most poignant create in us the yearning for the country that is to come, the kingdom of God, where our true citizenship lies and which will never come to. So on a weekend like the 4th of July, in the goodness of your celebrations, in the things that fall apart, when you look at the news, when the good things that are there, and the parts that you cringe to read, all of those are God's matching you to the depths and the heights and the richness and the glory. We're going to be closing by singing an early American hymn called How Firm a Foundation. It was written out of the throes of war and what it cost. What it cost to create this nation, the loss as well as the goodness. And it is the bridge. It is the bridge between the sufferings and the trials and the grace and the goodness of God. So as you sing it, I want you to hold both the sock in the one hand, all the goodness, and the brokenness, the hard parts, and understand that that is God's word bank to match you to the love of God, out of which you can never wander, which will never let you go, and which is your eternal destination. Thanks be to God.